Colonel, you better take a look at this radar.
What is it, son?
I don't know, sir. But it looks like a giant dick.
Yeah.
Take a look out of starboard.
Oh, my God. It looks like a huge...
Pecker!
Oh, where?
Wait. That's not a woodpecker. It looks like someone's...
Private! We have reports of an unidentified flying object. It is a long, smooth shaft, complete with two balls.
What is that? That looks just like an enormous...
Wang, pay attention.
I was distracted by that enormous flying...
Willie.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, it looks like a giant...
Penis. The male reproductive organ, also known as tallywhacker, schlong, or...
Wiener? Any of you kids want another wiener?
Dad, what's that?
I don't know, son, but it's got great big...
Nuts! Hot, salty nuts! Who wants some? Lord almighty!
That looks just like my husband's...
One-eyed monster! Step right up and see the one-eyed monster!
Hey, what's that? It looks like a big...
Woody! Woody Harrelson? Can I have your autograph?
Sure, no problem.
Oh, my Lord, look at that thing.
So big.
Oh, I've seen bigger. That's just a little prick.
Pre-recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A., it's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
In fact, folks, bells and warning shots have been kept out of our history books for far too long. We are neglecting to teach our children about the great American tradition of warning our enemies that we are about to attack them. Who can forget when General Eisenhower knocked on Hitler's door and said, "Hey, Adolf, we're landing at Normandy. Here's a warning shot. Ding dong, you bastard." And then our boys stormed the beach at Normandy with bells around their necks. Didn't see that in Saving Private Ryan.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
Yes, it is. Bubble Genius Bob and Elvis Show. Brought to you exclusively by BubbleGenius.com at www.BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob, and Elvis Dingledean is not with us today. The Dingledorf has decided to abandon the show this week in lieu of his night job as a clown. He specializes in balloon animals, and he goes to birthday parties. Seriously, he's got a, like, some sort of birthday party he's got to go to. So filling in for Elvis today is my good friend Ches Pazienza from Deus Ex Malcontent. Hey, Ches.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Now, we've got our fingers crossed. We've been struggling for the last half an hour or so trying to figure out and make sure that Skype... And see, it's doing it already. Skype is already fucking with us. You there? Are you still there? See, now, it's not working. I just did this big introduction for Ches and was just about to talk about how Skype has been fucking with us for the last half an hour. And just as I start talking about that, Ches goes away. No Ches. We don't have Ches. So what I'm going to see if I can get him back. And if not, I don't even know. Maybe I'll just proceed with the show by myself. Well, that'd be scary and crazy, wouldn't it? So I've disconnected Ches, and we'll see if maybe he'll call me. There he is. There he is. Skype. There's the Skype ring. It's so pleasant, isn't it? Ches? Hello? Skype, please. Can you hear me? This makes the Dingledorf auto-tune seem so much better. And it's not anything I'm doing. It's not anything Ches is doing. It's everything Skype is doing. Ever since Microsoft took over, it's been nothing but a pain in the ass. Microsoft bought Skype, didn't they? Some evil empire bought Skype. I think it was Microsoft. I don't think Elvis is going to work out. I mean, Ches. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to hang up again. See, what's insane is I was just speaking with him moments before the show, and everything sounded great, and then suddenly no. See, there it is again. This is going to be a big exercise in getting Skype to work for the first part of the show, I think.
Somebody to order a pizza?
There he is. There's a crazy noise.
don't even seriously. Don't. This is forget it. This fuck this. This is going to be terrible.
It's just not gonna. It's just not gonna happen, is it? Damn it. Okay. Well, you know what? If you figure it out, what I've done, and I'm just going to let this go on the show. This is all be part of the show. We like to keep it real. What I've done is I've removed you from my contact list. So if you call back using your Skype app on your phone or try to add me as a contact, I don't see you as a contact anymore. So try that, and we'll see how that works. And I don't even know if you can still hear me or not, but that's what we're going to try. Okay, good. He's hung up. So maybe we'll get Chez back. Maybe we won't. But nevertheless, big show still to do, and I'm going to do it by myself, which is, I haven't done a show by myself since the 90s. And I'm not talking about the late 90s. I'm talking about the mid-90s. So that was 100 years ago. So this could be a little iffy, but I think I can handle it. I've got I've got my hands on the 10-2 position of the show wheel, and I'm ready to do this by myself. So, we've been talking about for several weeks how slow the news has been, how nothing really has been happening, nothing of significance, nothing at least meaty enough that we can sink our teeth into for an hour and a half here on the show. And then we wrap up last week's show. In a matter of seconds, after we finished with last week's show, this happens. I got to play this.
He who warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he's riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be secure and we were going to be free.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. That's happened exactly at the end of our show. Now, that calls into question the timing of doing these shows. We do the show every Wednesday or Thursday or so, and when something happens as significant as that, something that we would be all over, Sarah Palin completely butchering history, which we talk about at length on the show, it happens seconds after the previous show. So do we talk about it again on the next week's show, almost a week later? Yes, we do. We just can't help ourselves. And by we, I mean me, because it's just me. So now, Elvis is not with us. Tried to get Chez, and we couldn't work it out with Chez. And so it is just me. But nevertheless, now Sarah Palin has this issue with history, and every time, it seems like every time she talks about history, she gets it completely wrong. You know, whether it's the Constitution, she doesn't understand the First Amendment. She doesn't understand freedom of speech. She thinks freedom of speech is infringed upon when I say, she said something stupid, or I say she shouldn't do that, or a bunch of people get together and says, she shouldn't, Dr. Laura shouldn't have a radio show anymore. She doesn't understand that freedom of speech protects people against government infringing upon, specifically Congress making laws infringing freedom of speech. She doesn't understand that. And this is an ongoing thing, and she never apologizes either. And I'll get to a little bit of that in a second. But then last week, she said this.
It is, of course, the symbol for Americans to be reminded of other countries, because this was gifted us, of course, by the French, other countries warning us to never make the mistakes that some of them had made. This is a symbol, a reminder of what it is that we can do right in the name of freedom. And that's what I appreciate about the Statue of Liberty. I think it's great, too, all the symbolism.
Yeah.
Just represented in each aspect.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So you get the idea. I mean, we've talked about this before. But even if she kind of got the history right, I think what consistently makes her seem even more idiotic, even more out of her depth, and that's what it's really all about. She comports herself to be this public figure who has the potential to be president of the United States. That's at the core of who she is. She says, I'm Sarah Palin. I ran for vice president. I can be president now. I may not run, but I can be president. And despite that, she gets history wrong. And even if she got it a little bit right, it still sounds nonsensical. She cannot form an extemporaneous thought. She cannot put together basic thoughts. I mean, she's a terrible, terrible communicator. So when someone says to her, Sarah Palin, can you tell us about your, we're here in Boston. You know, you just visited wherever Paul Revere was at, quote unquote, where he used to hang out. That's what she says. Paul Revere used to hang out here. Unbelievable. So, you know, you were just in this place where Paul Revere hangs out. What do you think of Paul Revere? This is a gotcha question, right? She later on Fox News Channel said, oh, it's a gotcha question. Trying to screw me with a basic question about what you did today. Gotcha question. So when she actually tries to describe it, it turns into a nonsensical. Yeah, it's. I've said this on the blog before, and it bears repeating. It sounds like an eighth grader bullshitting, like an oral exam question. Like, all right, Sarah, can you tell us about, you know, Paul Revere's ride? And Sarah, the eighth grade Sarah Palin, hasn't studied for class that day, hasn't done the class reading, you know, hasn't read the chapter. And so she stands up and says, you know, ringing those bells and firing those warning shots to warn the British. Word salad, word salad, word salad, ringing bells, word salad. And that's what comes out. And so the issue isn't so much that she gets the information wrong. Because let's face it, if information, you can look up information. You can learn information. Things can be taught to you. It's like whenever I hire someone to, I don't know if I talk about this a lot on the show, but I run an animation studio. And whenever I bring in a new animator, whenever I'm hiring animators, I look at their basic skills artistically. Are they talented? Can they think creatively? You know, can they draw a decent picture? Can they, you know, do they know the basics? Do they have that talent that can be applied to animation? They can be applied to the software, because the software, the actual program that you use on the computer to create the cartoon, that can be taught. There are instruction manuals for that. There are tutorials that you can learn. But the actual talent for saying, you know what, this is a funny way to draw a character. This is a good way to draw a character. This is a good timing for a joke. That can't always be taught. It can, but it's a much more arduous process. And some people, you know, it's like the Good Morning Vietnam phenomenon. Some people are Adrian Cronauer, and they have a natural ability to speak on the radio. Other people are Lieutenant Hawk, you know, the Bruno Kirby character. Yeah, they think they know, they've studied, or you know, better yet, is Eugene Levy from, I think it was Best in Show, where he's talking about he was the class, he wasn't the class clown, but he sat next to the class clown and learned from the class clown. So you can't learn to be funny. You can't learn to be a really great communicator. Sarah Palin is not a great communicator. She cannot communicate basic history, and that speaks to her basic ineptitude. What makes it even worse is that she's so narcissistic that she doesn't understand her ineptitude. She doesn't think she still is going around believing that she could be president if she decided to do it. At the very least, she's worthy of being considered as a possible presidential candidate. When she's not any of it. I mean, she's barely, you know, an eighth grader in history class. And she was there, I guess Piper was there and, you know, with her in that location. We were talking about Paul Revere. Piper probably could do a better job explaining Paul Revere's ride. It's not that hard. One if by land, two if by sea, you know, riding through town, not making a big racket because... You know, you don't, if you're about to stage a rebellion and you're planning on it, you don't go around rattling cages. You don't say, hey, look, we're going to, like Stephen Colbert, I play the audio at the top of the show. It's one of my favorite things Colbert has ever done. You know, Eisenhower didn't go up to Hitler, knock on his door and say, hey, Adolf, we're going to invade Normandy. Here's a warning shot. Ding dong, you bastard. That's so great. So, but she's conflating all kinds of things. She's conflating bells, lanterns become bells. God only knows. A ride through town becomes firing warning shots. So, and again, you know, I've written this before. You're going, well, here we go again. Another Bob and Elvis show where they're talking about Sarah Palin. But she is important. As long as she is on the public stage, it is important to say that she has no business being there. She has no business being taken seriously by anyone. And thank God fewer and fewer people are doing that. I mean, I don't know what would happen if these things didn't come out and if we didn't harp on them. And I'm not just saying me personally, but in general, if it was like, Sarah Palin. Lord only knows. If everyone had ignored Glenn Beck, God only knows what would have happened. But what occurred is people paid attention to what Glenn Beck had to say. And so there were these long and very tenacious grassroots campaigns to have advertisers drop Glenn Beck. So over time, Media Matters kept track of this. You know, Stop Beck on Twitter was involved in this, trying to get Glenn Beck's advertisers to drop off. That is diligence. That's accountability. Now, we could have said, oh, yeah, you know what? Let's not bother. Here we go with Glenn Beck. He's just a clown. Let's ignore him. He's a doofus. Who cares? He's not important enough. Then what happens? The guy's got an audience of 10 million people. That is influence. Whenever Sarah Palin speaks, people pay attention. They might be laughing and pointing, but there are a lot of people who take her seriously. And the important thing is to dwindle that number as vigorously as possible. So we have to pay attention. People who are on the national stage, especially people who have the potential to run for national office, especially need to be watchdogged, bulldog. I mean, you just really got to latch on and don't let go until they go away. That's just how it works. And until their influence is so minuscule that it doesn't even matter anymore. But as long as she's potentially going to run for president, stay on top of her. That's the way it's got to work. And the blogosphere is uniquely positioned to do that. Social media, uniquely positioned to do that. So, I mean, I said this on the blog. We ignore her at our own peril. We ignore these wing nuts. We ignore the Tea Party at our own peril. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on Sarah Palin on the show because the big breaking news today, I'm going to say a few things about Anthony Weiner coming up. But the big news today was, in fact, the Newt Gingrich campaign completely and utterly imploding. I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but if you've been watching cable news at all, the rumor mills are started. Who's saying what? Why they've decided to bail? But what happened was Newt decided he's been on a few campaign stops in Iowa, maybe three, well, a couple campaign stops in New Hampshire, maybe two. Right, and then he goes on this. This is a guy who's got a bling issue. He's got a thing, $250,000. Interest-free who has an interest-free credit line with anybody except their parents, you know, for their allowance? He's got an interest-free credit line of $250,000, which he has he's used to that amount with Tiffany's to buy him and Calista jewelry or some other form of bling. So what does he do on the heels of that fantastical blunder? Newt Gingrich and his third wife, Calista, get on a luxury cruise to Greece. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love to go to Greece. I would never go on a cruise. Cruises are like a cruise is like a floating salmonella bacteria. If you were to inflate a salmonella, like one microbe of salmonella, like an amoeba sized, take that one little cell and inflate it to the size of a floating city. That's how I regard it. It's like typhoid. You step on there, instantly you've got typhoid. That's how I think. Maybe call me a germaphobe. But I really believe that that a cruise is easily the most disgusting way to spend 2 weeks. I don't care if it's got water slides and it's got, you know, those hideous buffet meals and Wayne Newton perform. I don't know. I don't know what happens on a cruise. I just know a lot of people get sick and it's kind of close quarters and these little tiny rooms. So Newt decided to see Greece by cruise ship for a couple of weeks, right? Which is just a huge mistake. I mean, you don't say, I'm a man of the people. I know how to solve this jobless recession, or this jobless recovery. I know how to be thrifty with the nation's economy. And see you later. I'm going on a cruise. Love Boat. It's Newt Gingrich on the Love Boat with Calista. And they're hanging out with Gopher and, you know, Doc. And Isaac, giving Isaac that little double point. You know, it's just big, big mistake. So he gets back only to find out that his entire senior staff has quit. Here's the story from the Huffington Post. Republican presidential hopeful Newt Gingrich's campaign manager, senior strategist, and key aides in early delegate selection states all resigned on Thursday, a mass exodus that leaves his hopes of winning the Republican nomination in tatters. Rick Tyler, Gingrich's spokesman, said he, campaign manager Rob Johnson, and senior strategists had resigned, along with aides in the early primary and caucus states of Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. Other officials said Gingrich was informed that his entire high command was quitting in a meeting earlier in the day today, Thursday. I'm recording this on Thursday. They cited differences over the direction of the campaign. Well, no shit. Evidently, Newt thought he could run this thing virtually, do very little work, go on these cruises, and get the job done. I mean, here's the problem. I mean, this is at the core of why this campaign is imploding. Newt doesn't seriously believe he can be president. A lot of these guys don't seriously believe they can be president. What this is this is part of their business model, their personal wealth, their plan to achieve massive and continued wealth. Face it, he's going on cruises in Greece and running up $250,000 credit lines at Tiffany's. He's not hurting for cash, but they got to keep the gravy train running. And what keeps the gravy train running better than, you know, having that presidential campaign byline, you know, in the lower third when you appear on Fox News Channel? I'm Newt Gingrich, presidential candidate. That carries a lot of weight, especially if you're trying to sell a book. Right. Or if you're trying to any variety of things. I mean, Newt Gingrich is also involved in producing these awful, awful wingnut documentaries and then distributing them. That requires some of the good old fashioned, as Burt Reynolds says in Boogie Nights, some of the good old fashioned green stuff. You know, so having that item on your CV, pretty important. And plus it gets, you know, it increases the speaking fees. You say I'm presidential candidate Newt Gingrich. And it kind of starts to erase. You don't have to put on your business card, I'm Newt Gingrich, disgraced former Speaker of the House. Cause that's kind of his previous credit in politics. So he's got to erase that with some, he's got to replace that with some other item that will fit, that will fit conveniently on a resume. And so presidential candidate looks pretty good. So consequently, if that's all he's looking for, he's not really going to take it seriously. I mean, he's not going to go out. Newt Gingrich isn't the kind of guy who's going to go out and kiss a lot of babies. I mean, can you see big pumpkin head Newt Gingrich trying to kiss a baby? Good God. I mean, from that baby's perspective, he's going to look like, I don't know, like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. Because he kind of does. He kind of does look like Mr. Stay Puffed. He's got that big puffy head. If he only had that little sailor's hat, he looked like from the perspective of a little tiny baby. You see Newt Gingrich leaning down to give him a big smooch. Come here, give us a big kiss. It's Mr. Stay Puffed climbing up the side of that building, and the baby's gonna flip his shit, and then that's gonna be it. So he's not, and he knows this. He's not built for that. He's not wired to go around kissing babies, shaking hundreds of hands, you know, like in the West Wing, getting out there and, and helping with, you know, people's recycling and, you know, in the middle of nowhere in New Hampshire on a freezing day, you know. It's just not his style. So, and plus, you know, the far right kind of hates him. So, this is just, expect him to remove himself from the campaign. You know, he's going to end the campaign. I give him another 2 weeks. He's going to flail a little bit here, saying we're going to press on. The mission is too great. Yada, yada, yada. And then he's going to, you know, gracefully bow out and then go back to writing his awful, awful fantasy books about the Civil War, in which he imagines the Confederates winning various battles that they actually lost. Because he's such a good guy. Anyway, the story continues. We had a different vision for glory, Rick Tyler, Gingrich's spokesperson, said. We had a very different vision for victory, Tyler told the Associated Press. And since we couldn't resolve that difference, I didn't feel I could be useful in serving him. He said Gingrich was not allowing him enough time to campaign in key states. Scott Reals, a longtime aide who joined the departure, said, quote, I think the world of him, but at the end of the day, we just could not see a clear path to win, and there was a question of commitment. And that's what it comes down to. The commitment, again, is not there because he's not really running. He's just, again, he's replacing that disgraced former Speaker of the House on his politics section of his resume with presidential candidate Newt Gingrich. So there's no real commitment to actually win. So, and then there's what else is happening with this? There's a lot of rumors flying around as to exactly all the things that were happening behind the scenes. I was hearing Howard Fineman was on MSNBC suggesting that there was some conflict with Calista Gingrich and the campaign staffers. Here's another item on the Huffington Post. Newt Gingrich top aide says disagreement over time commitments prompted departure. Newt Gingrich spokesman Rick Tyler again confirmed to the Huffington Post Thursday that he and other top aides to the Republican presidential candidate have quit, but said it was over a difference of campaign philosophies and not because they questioned his commitment. So it's not about any sort of commitment. Who knows? It's not laziness, Tyler said by the phone. He's the hardest working person I know. Bullshit. It's just I'll just leave it out, leave it at our paths at victory are different. There were two visions, two paths to victory, and Newt's path and my understanding of the path to victory were different. Oh, it's such horseshit. Just the fact of the matter is these guys see this candidate as a sinking ship who is just self-destructing because he's you know. He just doesn't, he's spastic. He doesn't know exactly. He's a great politician. He's just terrible at, you know, committing himself to the job. And, you know, he's already been through the mill. I mean, if you spend most of the 90s as Speaker of the House, you've kind of spent your gasoline is kind of running low for the whole rigorous process. I don't think he was up for it. But anyway, so. Newt Gingrich is probably going to drop out of the campaign, and, you know, who cares? At the end of the day, there are enough freaks that will, you know, fill that gap. I'm just waiting for – now, of course, here's something we predicted. This just happened today or just over the last 24 hours. Now, if you remember when Trump first got into the campaign, he didn't really technically get into the campaign. He just pretended to for ratings. But he rapidly imploded. I mean, he fell apart over the birther thing. And then, you know, then sort of the Tea Party far right started to attack him a little bit, and that was it for him. Plus, his show was ending, the season finale was coming up, and, you know, he didn't need it anymore. And then Newt steps up, and he implodes. He just disintegrates. And I said on the show a couple of weeks ago, I said, well, the next person to stick his head out, probably going to be Mitt Romney, and then he's just going to get ripped to shreds by the right. He's going to do something that's going to force him to implode. Now, in Gingrich's defense, Gingrich was saying something on Meet the Press about social engineering that was actually true. I mean, he's speaking honestly. I mean, what Newt Gingrich said on Meet the Press was accurate. Now, Mitt Romney has actually admitted that he believes that, you know, global warming is man-made. Big mistake. Big, big mistake. Okay? Okay, he says, Mitt Romney says, quote, I believe the world is getting warmer, and I believe that humans have contributed to that. He told a crowd of about 200 at a town hall meeting in Manchester, New Hampshire. It's important for us to reduce our emissions of pollutants and greenhouse gases that may be significant contributors. Exactly right. He's exactly right. We've actually caused it. I mean, this is, I mean, he wasn't exactly right. He was mostly right. He said contributed to it, meaning that it's sort of maybe half and half, half human, half natural, but it's us. It's all of us. That's what's causing all this mayhem in the Midwest, you know. But what's happened now is everyone hates him. He is getting ripped to shreds. I think Rush Limbaugh said, Rush Limbaugh is on a show saying, kiss the nomination goodbye. I mean, so you have a candidate who passed a pretty damn good healthcare plan in Massachusetts. Good enough that we replicated it at the national scale, at the national level. Now he's saying that global warming is real and that humans have helped to create it. Again, the truth is not in the milieu of the Tea Party. That's just not going to happen. So now we have Rush Limbaugh and the far right, and they're going to eliminate Mitt Romney. So we start with Trump, implodes. Newt Gingrich, imploding. Mitt Romney, potentially imploding now. So who's next? Who's going to be the next candidate to self-destruct by, you know, either doing something stupid like Donald Trump or actually and quite literally speaking the truth? I think that next candidate, and it looks like it's going to happen, although she's got some good advisors, Michelle Bachmann is next. Michelle Bachmann is on deck, and Ed Rollins or no, she's screwed. She's good. Get to more of that in a second. It's time to talk about soap. Bubble Genius Bob and Elvis show brought to you, as always, by www.bubblegenius.com. Bubblegenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. I use Bubble Genius soap every day, multiple times a day. I've got the hibiscus soap, which is the ultimate hand soap. It's my favorite hand soap I have ever used. It's just it looks like a hibiscus flower. And it feels great. Smells wonderful. Looks good sitting there on the sink. Because it's beautifully sculpted. And then when you actually rub it into your hands to wash your hands, it actually, the texture of it massages your hands. So you kind of go, that's kind of nice. That's good. And so this is one of the many soaps they offer at BubbleGenius.com. And here's their latest commercial, a brand new Bubble Genius commercial.
Tiki! Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki?
Celebrate Kamehameha Day with our Tiki Rivik soaps. Our coconut-scented squeaky tiki on a rope, or our fruit-scented pipsqueak mini tiki.
Tiki.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Do it.
Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
We need more iTunes subscribers. By the way, I meant to mention, Put in your promo code Bob and Elvis, B-O-B-A-N-D-E-L-V-I-S, and get 15% off your entire order. So you go buy your tiki soap at Bubble Genius and get 15% off that entire order at bubblegenius.com. So Anthony Weiner. I don't really know what to say about it at this point that hasn't already been said a million times. I do know that there was a poll in Anthony Weiner's district. 56% of registered voters in that district, which is the New York 9th, think that Weiner should remain in office, and only a third think he should resign. Now, I believe that he should remain in office. I mean, what he did was phenomenally stupid. But that I don't think it's worthy of necessarily resigning. Because, you know, legislatively, that stupidity hasn't necessarily manifested itself. It's only really come out in the way he handles himself online. Now, there could be other issues that speaks to the fact that he was such a massive idiot online. I mean, look, let's face it. You do not, anyone who knows anything about Twitter knows that you do not engage in that kind of behavior on Twitter or Facebook for that matter, because it's not really that secure. There are so many loopholes, so much room for error, so many things. Like, for a while there on Facebook, there was some bug on Facebook where if you were having a private chat on Facebook, suddenly it was somehow getting posted to your wall. Or I don't remember exactly what it was. I wasn't really following it. But there was something where private messages or some sort of the chat functionality on Facebook was getting posted to everyone's walls. I mean, you don't need to be a brainiac to understand that Twitter and Facebook aren't secure ways to, you know, to have your trysts or whatever the hell he was doing, sexting and whatnot. Stupid. It was just sheer stupidity. And on top of the idea that as a rather visible liberal Democrat, a firebrand Democrat who routinely rips conservatives to shreds, whether it's on the floor of the House of Representatives or if it's in the media, he has got a big, you know, rhetorical target on his back. People wanted to take him out. And I'm not talking about shooting him. I'm speaking figuratively. I'm sure there are Republicans and conservatives and manifested in Andrew Breitbart who would like nothing better than to ruin Anthony Weiner's career. And so that's what they did. But he should have known that. He should have known that that was going to be an issue. But his hubris, which hubris is being charitable. I think it's just stupidity. Got the better of him. So what does he do? He goes around and he sends, you know, crotch shots to women. Now, he wasn't, I don't know if he's necessarily victimizing it. It's a little bit on the edge of, I believe, some sort of harassment, because he is a character in a position of power. These followers, these people who he was communicating with, not really, you know, sort of just, he was basically taking advantage of them, in my opinion, that he could get away with this stuff because he was a celebrity. He's kind of this liberal democratic rock star. And so I think there's a little victimization going on there, even though it was, you know, technically consensual. Is kind of let's put it this way, massively stupid. He's got a beautiful wife, brand new marriage. They've only been married for 11 months. His wife is pregnant. He may not have known that at the time, but, you know, so this speaks to some massive flaw in his judgment. In this media environment, in this climate, you do not behave like that. And so what are the consequences? What does it matter to me? What does it matter to you? What matters to us is because, well, several reasons. We have a guy who was one of the few people, maybe one of two members of the House of Representatives on the progressive, liberal, progressive side who could actually kick ass. Alan Grayson lost. Alan Grayson's not there anymore. He lost his re-election campaign back in November. He's done. So you have Anthony Weiner. And who else? I mean, there's, I don't know. Who else is in the House of Representatives who actually fill that void? I don't think there is one. I think you've got maybe a strong independent in the Senate, Bernie Sanders, who can get up on the floor of the Senate and really just ripping into Republicans. But in the House, you don't have that. You have, you had Alan Grayson gone, Anthony Weiner on his way out. But I don't think he should resign. You know, I don't think stupidity is necessarily cause for resignation. I do know that I'm not really, and I'll be perfectly honest with you here. I was a little skeptical of Anthony Weiner, and this is a hobby horse that I like to ride. This is something I like to flog, and it's personal to me because I like to. I'm into cycling. I'm into bike riding, and Anthony Weiner was joking about how the bike lanes in Manhattan are awful, and the first thing he were to do if he became mayor would be to get rid of all the bike lanes. Well, screw that. That was wrong. Also disagree with him a little bit on the Middle East. And so, but regardless, I mean, he's a guy who has a lot of good things to say, a lot of good things to do for the progressive side. And we're losing that now. The other thing it does is it makes us all seem like the stereotype. It gives Republicans like Rush Limbaugh an opening to, play the old family values card. Democrats don't believe in family values. I, Rush Limbaugh, do. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. I really couldn't believe my ears when I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about family values. Normally, he doesn't do that because he knows. He knows about the hypocrisy thing. He knows he has... He doesn't have a leg to stand on when it comes to family values, Rush Limbaugh. So he's on his radio show saying, this is the Democrat Party's version of family values. Ugh. And, this is a guy, again, the statistics. He's been married several times. He's, which is fine in and of itself. Just don't talk about family values, He had a major, major drug problem, which actually so much so that he lost his ability to hear. He has to wear like a little device, an implant on his head. You can see it on the video of his show. He's got like a thing that it's like I forget what it's called. It's some sort of implant that helps him to actually hear. And it's the device has to stick on the sort of right behind his ear. On the back of his head, because he can no longer hear because of his drug addiction. Okay, lots of good people get wrapped up in drugs. In and of itself, not an issue, except when you're talking about family values, except when you're ripping into guys like Jerry Garcia and saying that they're criminals for using drugs. That makes you an idiot. That makes you a hypocrite. And then when you're, caught with a vial of Viagra. I don't know how many different pills were in that container, but it was a bottle of Viagra with a prescription in someone else's name, with Rush Limbaugh's stuff, his carry-on luggage, as he's trying to get into the Dominican Republic. You say, well, okay, maybe he's with his wife or his girlfriend or whatever at the time. Maybe he's meeting someone there. No. Rush Limbaugh was with a bunch of his male friends. It was basically going to be a stag party weekend in the Dominican Republic, and Rush Limbaugh was bringing Viagra that wasn't in his name. What does he need that Viagra for? God only knows. There's some hypothesis rolling around saying maybe he was there for sex tourism. Dominican Republic is notorious for sex tourism, and that's why he needed Viagra. Regardless, if he's got Viagra, chances are he's engaging in some sort of untoward behavior. So at least something that doesn't, that's not in keeping with his family values mantra. So he gets up and starts talking about Anthony Weiner's family values. And then, then his people are going to believe it. They're going to buy that. It just gives him an opening. Then the other thing it does is it's vindicated Andrew Breitbart, for God's sake. And this is one of the reasons why I wish we had been able to keep Chez. Damn you, Skype. I wish we'd be able to keep Chez on the show, because Chez is just as much of an Andrew Breitbart fan, meaning he's not much of a fan. He actually hates Andrew Breitbart like I do. But he's just as much of a fan of Andrew Breitbart as I am. And we would have just had a field day with this. I would love to have heard more of Chez's insight into how he pegs Andrew Breitbart. And in fact, the last time Chez Pazienza from deusexmalcontent.com, the last time he and I had been on a show together was Lee Stranahan's old show a couple years ago. I think it was 2009. Chez was on that show with me and Lee Stranahan. And now Lee Stranahan, fast forward a couple years, is now working for Andrew Breitbart. So, oh, the things we could have discussed from that perspective. But what this does is that validates Andrew Breitbart, makes people like me look stupid, because I, you know, as soon as this news came out about, well, he could have sent this photograph, this crotch shot, to a woman via Twitter, I'm saying, it's another Andrew Breitbart hoax. It's another scam. It's just like Acorn or Shirley Sherrod, or whatever he's associated with on the Planned Parenthood side. It was more James O'Keefe associated with the Planned Parenthood one, not necessarily Breitbart. But Breitbart has at least committed two different videotaped scams that he's associated with. The Acorn one, the Shirley Sherrod one. The Acorn one, he admitted to it being a scam. I mean, at a Tea Party rally, Andrew Breitbart stepped up to a microphone and said, "I tricked you. That's what I did. I tricked the press into thinking this was real. It's not, but I got all the attention for it. Ha, ha, ha." And so I thought, well, okay, this is another scam. It's a joke. You know, Anthony Weiner, ha, 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 tee hee, ha, ha. You know. But it turns out it's not a joke. And it turns out Andrew Breitbart is correct. And it turns out that Anthony Weiner is lying. And then we all look like idiots for having defended him. So it just, I mean, what Anthony Weiner did was he screwed liberals. He screwed all of us, because now he has no veracity anymore, because he just repeatedly lied to Rachel Maddow, went on the Rachel Maddow show and lied point blank to Rachel Maddow. It wasn't just CNN. I mean, he went on the show, the go-to television show for liberals, the Rachel Maddow show, and lied to us and lied to Rachel Maddow about all of it. Didn't do a very good job of it, because everyone's going, well, you know what? He said that he doesn't know. He's making some bullshit about Photoshop, the picture. Bullshit. So we kind of knew something was fishy. But I still clung to the Andrew Breitbart scam thing. And, you know, consequently, looked like an idiot. So, you know, this guy's got a renewed credibility, Breitbart. Just the guy we need the press to be taking seriously again. Just when we thought maybe the press might not take him seriously after the Shirley Sherrod debacle. But there we go again. Andrew Breitbart suddenly is on the Today Show. He's on, you know, he's all over the place now. I mean, he didn't even handle himself correctly after the whole thing. He said, "I'm not going to release the X-rated photo," which we now have all seen. And we all know now that evidently either he's hairless or Anthony Weiner has a very rigorous shaving routine. I mean, not just his hairless chest, but, you know, everything else. I didn't want to know that. Thank you, Andrew. Didn't want to know that. Didn't want to know too much information about Anthony Weiner's grooming habits. But there we go. And so, there, when you behave like this in such a stupid way, it's that you're not just screwing yourself and your family, your hopes for, you know, any sort of political future, you're screwing everyone else. It's like those old STD commercials, right? You're not just screwing your partner, you're screwing, you know, all of your partner's partners and their partners and all of the other partners and so on and so on and so on. So thank you. We salute you, Anthony Weiner. God damn. All of that said, I don't think he should resign. That's what we always do. As soon as we get in trouble, we backpedal, we cave, we collapse, we acquiesce, and it's all in the name of catering to people who are inherently hypocritical. Eric Cantor, not only a hypocrite, but, you know, a guy who legislates James O'Keefe videos. You know, these are the people we're acquiescing to. No more. I mean, Anthony Weiner should stay in office, run for re-election, for no other reason to aggravate these people. I mean, if he's got no other power because he's lost all of his credibility, the least he can do is to aggravate the far right by not resigning. So please, if you're in the New York Ninth, please make sure that you inform Anthony Weiner's office that you're a constituent of his and you do not want him to resign. Do not cave in to these hypocritical family values bastards. Ding dong, you bastards. So, you know, stand up and fight. Yeah, this is what we talk about that sometimes here on the show. Liberals have this thing where as soon as the far right starts screeching about something, we say, well, you know what? We're going to take that away from them by completely and totally collapsing, completely conceding an argument because we don't want them saying that. Now, how about this? How about we piss them off as much as they try to deliberately piss us off? And that's what much of the far right is all about. That's what Sarah Palin's all about. That's what Ann Coulter especially is all about. What they do, I mean, Dick Cheney and Karl Rove are making post White House careers out of being trolls about deliberately aggravating liberals and pissing us off. That's all they do. Karl Rove, what he does is he goes around and recycles all of anti-George Bush memes that came from the left. He's recycling them and using them entirely against Barack Obama, against our current president. Why? Because it pisses us off. And Karl Rove thinks that's hilarious. So that's what they do. And so what are we supposed to do? Every time they come up with some line of bullshit, like, you know, they recycle, George Bush is a warmonger and say, Barack Obama's a warmonger. Karl Rove saying this. And we say, oh, you know what? We can't hold this position anymore because he's going to yell about it. The far right's going to yell. So we can't say this anymore. It's such an awful, awful way to fight a battle. Instead of acquiescing and taking that argument away from them, spend that time to show them that they are wrong. Because regardless of how the party itself functions or how Harry Reid functions, we have lots of power online. We have lots of people, and we have the ability, we have the truth on our side. And we can use that truth. I mean, that's why I wrote a piece in the Huffington Post yesterday about Anthony Weiner and about how we can change what news gets reported. Another good reason I wanted to have Chez on today, Chez Pazienza, was because, he's a former producer for CNN. And he could have helped us to discuss this issue of how we can change what the media reports as news. What we can do is, as a movement, and we've done this, and I said it was about Glenn Beck and getting rid of his advertisers before, we can do this with regards to what the news reports. We can spend some time every day going to the wonky blogs, the blogs that cover hard news, the detailed facts. You know, Ezra Klein, Matt Iglesias, we can read those blogs and comment on them en masse, like we do on all the Sarah Palin and Anthony Weiner posts. Where you post about Anthony Weiner, Sarah Palin, and I'm just as guilty as anyone about doing this. You get dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of comments, depending on what website it's on. But you post about something that's a little more wonky, nothing. Maybe 1-10 comments. What we need to do is give that wonky programming as much attention as we give to the bubblegum. Still pay attention to bubblegum. I think it's still important to say Sarah Palin's a moron. Believe me. It's still important to report about some politician when they whip their cock out and start waving it around on camera. That's important to talk about. But what we need to talk about and what we need to pay the most attention to is the hard news. Because if we start paying attention to that, if enough of us do that, if we go and we all decide that we're going to make a point of telling everyone we know, if it means tying them up with duct tape and shoving them in front of a television, getting all of them to watch the Rachel Maddow Show. Easily the wonkiest, most detail-oriented, best show on cable news. I mean, that's the Rachel Maddow Show. Even though she editorializes, yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, the wonk doesn't preclude editorializing. You can have both at the same time. And that's what Rachel does. There are things on that show that you'd never hear about. No one is talking. It's like that promo. We're going to talk about some. We lead off tonight with something no one is talking about, she says. So we pay attention to that. We shove it down their throats. We say, this is what we want. This is what we're paying attention to. Do it. We don't just walk away and say, you know what? I'm going to go, sit in the John and read People magazine. Shouldn't work that way. Likewise, if we want to fight the Republicans, we stick it to them. We don't acquiesce. We stick it to them. Anthony Weiner, if the entire Republican Party is saying you got to resign because you're a bad man, Anthony Weiner should say, you know what? I'm not only not going to resign. I'm going to run for re-election and I am going to win. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to tell you how wrong you are. I'm going to expose you as being hypocrites. Because Anthony Weiner isn't a hypocrite. If Anthony Weiner was out there trying to pass legislation against sexting, then Anthony Weiner would be a hypocrite. Anthony Weiner would then be as bad as John Ensign. But he's not. Because this is just bad behavior. This is Anthony Weiner being a stupid effing guy. He's being a guy. And I mean guy in the worst possible sense. In the most pejorative way possible. Which leads me to the next topic, which is I really want to find out from someone. You can contact me through the blog. You can send me a DM on Twitter. No crotch shots, please. I want to hear from sociologists, psychologists. There's a disparity happening. And this speaks to the idea of extramarital sex. I found some numbers. I was doing some I wanted to find out, who has more extramarital sex, men or women? Because it seemed like men were getting painted with the all men fuck around brush. We're all getting painted with the wiener brush. And so I wanted to find out, is there any truth to that? Because it could very well be. I don't know. I'm just curious. I wanted to find out. That's what we do. When we don't know something, we go and look it up. So all the numbers I found, whether it was some study I saw in the Huffington Post or if it was the Kinsey Institute and, Alfred Kinsey himself did a study in the mid to late 40s. And then there were some more studies in the 90s that were commissioned by the Kinsey Institute. And they all show a differential of anywhere between 5% and 10% between men and women. So men cheat more, have extramarital sex only about 5 or 10% more often than women do. At least that was the finding. Who knows? It could be, the numbers could be greater because it showed about, anywhere between 20 and 50% for men and I don't know, 10 and 40% for women. It's just like this weird, broad sampling or results, I meant to say. So, but regardless, so let's just say, 10% more men than women have extramarital sex. So why does that not translate to the United States Congress or the governorships, for that matter? I don't know. I don't know because there has not been a woman who has been a female member of Congress, a female politician who has been caught cheating in any way, shape or form. Not that I'm aware of. There might have been one 30 years ago or something, and it was never reported because at that point in time, reporters weren't talking about that sort of thing. I don't know. But if there is this disparity, what causes that? Is it the fact that there are more men in Congress, more men in the state houses and, you know, state governors? I mean, that could very well be. I mean, that could be part of it, although you would still think that there'd be one woman along the line. Is it some sort of deadly combination of testosterone and power? Does the rank and file citizenry differ in its extramarital sex than do members of Congress? I think that's kind of feasible. Or how about this? Bad behavior is different between men and women. Maybe in positions of power, men cheat, involve themselves in scandals. Women do, I don't know, something else. There's some other kind of abuse of power. You know, I know Mary Landrieu takes a lot of oil money, you know. Is it that? Is it just, are they equally as bad, but in different ways? Like, men can't keep their dick in their pants. Women, you know, do X, Y, and Z. I don't know. So that's what I wanted. I want to get to the bottom of why exactly that happens. So if you can contact me, you get my email address through the blog. You can comment on the blog in one of the nightly cartoon open threads, or you can send me a message on Twitter or Facebook. But again, please, as always, no underpants, please. Thank you. Show today, in which I am hosting it by myself. No Elvis today. And we tried Ches Pazienza, but that didn't work either. The Bubble Genius Bob and Elvis Show. Thank you for listening. Brought to you, as always, by Bubble Genius at www.bubblegenius.com. at bubblegenius.com. Happy Kamehameha Day. Get tiki soap at Bubble Genius. We'll hear a bit more about that in just a second. If you order by tomorrow night, Bubble Genius is able to ship your Father's Day gifts, and they will get there before Father's Day. And that's it. But the deadline is tomorrow night. If you want to buy stuff for Dad from Bubble Genius, get your order in before Friday night. I don't know. I can only assume that it's Friday night, West Coast night. Otherwise, they're closing the lab while they're at Netroots Nation next week. Bubble Genius will be at Netroots Nation next week. I will not, because I'm not one of the cool kids. But you can go to see Bubble Genius. They'll have a kiosk there where they'll be distributing soap and lots of fun things. And maybe Elding will show up there and make some balloon animals for you. Other than that, summer is just around the corner. Make sure you're ready for sun by pampering your body with some whips and scrubs from Bubble Genius. Go check those out at bubblegenius.com/body/whips-scrubs.html. You can probably link to it from the main page of the site. And, brand new commercial from Bubble Genius right now.
Tiki! Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki! Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki!
Tiki? Celebrate Kamehameha Day with our Tiki Rivik soaps. Our coconut-scented Squeaky Tiki on a Rope, or our fruit-scented Pipsqueak Mini Tiki.
Tiki.
BubbleGenius.com.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
BubbleGenius.com. Bubble Genius napping, the last part. Yeah, so it's the Bubble Genius Bob and Elvis Show. And make sure to enter Bob and Elvis, BOBANDELVIS, and get 15% off your entire order of tiki soaps or hibiscus soaps or soaps for Dad. Remember, tomorrow night, Friday night is your deadline to make sure you get your order in for your Father's Day gift buying. and order early and often. So you make sure your delivery gets there before Father's Day, which is, I believe, June the 19th. Not entirely sure. But anyway, so more show here. Things are going okay. I mean, it's a long show. It's turned out to be a long show. I've talked quite a bit by myself. I'm looking at a bare blank wall and my laptop, and I'm talking to myself. How about that? Not too bad. So lots of stuff still to get to, including Rick Santorum, who this guy is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, talk about audacity. I mean, this is how Republicans function. I was talking about, Anthony Weiner sticking it to the Republicans by not resigning. Here's Rick Santorum, a guy who was disgraced in 2006. I mean, just got killed in that midterm election by Bob Casey Jr. And is infamous on Google because of the frothy anal squirts or whatever. I don't know what this is. Andy Borowitz made up this thing, and it turned into this huge... I don't think it was Andy Borowitz. I don't know who the hell it was. Someone made up this thing about the real definition of the word Santorum. You know all about it. And somehow it became like this Google bomb or something. And now anytime you look up Santorum, the frothy anal discharge is what comes up as the Google result, I believe. I haven't tried it recently, but it's been around since, Santorum first said the thing, the man on dog sex, comparing that to homosexuality. But this is a guy who made, and repeatedly so, a royal ass of himself. Lost big time. And what is he doing? Several years later, 5 years later, after having his hat handed to him in the midterm election, I think he lost by at least 10 points. It may have been upwards of 18 points. I mean, it was a trouncing. What is this guy doing? He's running for president. He's running for president. For that matter, what does Mark Sanford do? Mark Sanford's still in office. David Vitter won re-election, for God's sake. Now, I'm not excusing what they did, because they're still asshole hypocrites. I'm just saying that they just don't care. That they just keep going. They're like juggernaut. They're juggernaut, bitch. And so they keep moving. And so you have Rick Santorum running for president, where he gets a national stage to say crazy shit like this, for example.
It's funny. When I was leading the charge on partial birth abortion, several members came forward and said, why don't we just ban all abortions? Tom Daschle was one of them, if you know, and Susan Collins and others. Now, they wanted a health exception, which, of course, is a phony exception, which would make the ban ineffective.
So did you catch that? It's kind of shitty audio. But Santorum basically said that, I'm just going to read back the transcript here again. When I was leading the charge on partial birth abortion, several members came forward and said, blah, 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 why don't we ban all abortions? And Susan Collins and others. They wanted a health exception, which, of course, is a phony exception. He said the exception on a full abortion ban to save the life of the mother of the baby, whatever you want to call it, the fetus. That is phony. This is a guy, he's running for the Republican nomination. Doesn't have a chance now. He's not even going to win a single primary. Not a single primary. He has no chance. I don't even know if he's going to make it to Iowa. But regardless, he's up there and he's saying crap like this. And people pay attention to it. Yeah, it's a phony exception. Saving a woman's life is phony. Yeah. It's just nonsense. Who? Abortion to save a mother's life? Ridiculous. No one ever dies in childbirth. No one has ever died because of being pregnant. It's silly. What a joke. Here's a balloon animal. So anyway. Well, that's not too bad, huh? This is the first time ever there's only been one guy on this show. And it's funny how when there's only one person on the show, the subject of Star Wars or Lord of the Rings never come up. Didn't come up at all. Until just now. See, we couldn't make it through. I just had to say Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, movies. I thought about maybe making up my own story about how I wanted to be Indiana Jones and get a fedora and run around in the woods in Northern Virginia pretending to be Indiana Jones. Figure that's going to be a good substitute for Elvis not being here this week. Well, I appreciate Chez Pazienza at least trying to work his way through the minefield that is Skype in order to be on the show to fill in for Elvis. Didn't quite work out. But I would definitely like to have Chez back on, even if he's just the third man coming in to hang out on the show. Talk with us on the show and lend his insight. Maybe next week. And, yeah, I'd like to get Jumpy Pants in here again, too, sometime. Look out, Elvis. Gonna have a cavalcade of guest hosts coming in. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. You fudge with us, you fudge with the best. And we'll see you next week on the show. Take care. Wiener?